ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 19 एंटाइटल द लॉर्ड बेग्स चैरिटी फ्रॉम बलि महाराज टेक्स्ट नंबर 20 ना पुमां माम उपाव्रज्य भूयो याचितुम अर्हति तस्मादुरुति करिं भूमिं वटो कामां प्रतिच्छमे. ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. ओ स्मॉल बॉय, वन हु अप्रोचेस मी टू बेग समथिंग शुड नॉट हैव टू आस्क एनीथिंग मोर एनीवेयर. देयरफॉर If you wish, you may ask from me as much as land as will suffice to maintain you according to your needs. Since there is no purport, we'll go to text 21. Shri Bhagwan Vacha, Yavanto Vishaya Preshta Trilokyam Achitendriyam Na Shaknuvanti Te Sarve Pratipurya Itum Nrupa. The personality of Godhead said, O my Lord, O my King, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Purport. The material world is an illusionary energy to deviate the living entities from the path of self-realization. Anyone who is in the material world is extremely anxious to get more and more things for sense gratification. Actually, however, the purpose of life is not sense gratification, but self-realization. Therefore, those who are too addicted to sense gratification are advised to practice the mystic yoga system or Ashtanga yoga system consisting of Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahar and so on. In this way, one can control the senses. The purpose of controlling the senses is to stop one's implication in the cycle of birth and death. As stated by Rishabhdev, Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma Yad Indriya Prite Apnoti Nasadhu Manne Yata Atmanoyam Asan Api Kleshada Ashadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it is not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. Thus, according to Rishabhdev, the human beings in this material world are just like madmen engaged in activities which they should not perform, but which they do perform only for sense gratification. Such activities are not good because in this way one creates another body for his next life as punishment for his nefarious activities. And as soon as he gets another material body, he is put into repeated suffering in material existence. Therefore, the Vedic culture or Brahminical culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities of life. To teach this highest culture, Varnashram Dharma is recommended. The aim of Varnashram divisions Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas is to train one to control the senses and be content with bare necessities. Here, Lord Vamandev, as an ideal brahmachari, refuses Bali Maharaj's offer to give him anything he might want. He says that without contentment, one could not be happy even if he possessed the property of the entire world or the entire universe. In human society, therefore, the Brahminical culture, Kshatriya culture and the Vaishya culture must be maintained, and people must be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. In modern civilization, there is no such education. Everyone tries to possess more and more, and everyone is dissatisfied and unhappy. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore establishing various farms, especially in America, to show how to be happy and content with the minimum necessities of life and to save time for self-realization, which one can very easily achieve by chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So first of all, I would like to take blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can make an attempt to speak on this verse. So here, Bali Maharaj is saying to Lord Vamandev that you can ask as much land you need. Just to, before we start discussing for today's verse, just to have a background. Actually, the Lord is not in need of anything. Everything belongs to the Lord, Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam. But here, the Lord is asking for not for his personal self-interest, but for the interest of his devotees. So, Bali Maharaj, Lord Vamandev, in previous verses, he is saying to Bali Maharaj that, O King, conqueror of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much as land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmana takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful reactions, sinful activities. So here in purport, Prabhupada makes very nice point that Lord Vamandev indirectly indicated Bali Maharaj that he was occupying more land than he needed. And Bali Maharaj was not aware that those three steps or three paces of land, he didn't knew what actually it will be. And therefore he is saying that you are unintelligent, and he is saying you can ask as much as land you want. But here Lord Vamandev is teaching the principle that one should not possess more than necessary. This is a basic principle. And then in today's verse, Lord Vamandev is saying that, O my dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy the one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. So this principle of satisfaction is very much important for all of us, particularly sadhakas like all of us. So before we can understand what actually real satisfaction is, we have to understand that why there is a need to understand the effects, dangerous effects of sense gratification. Why sense gratification is condemned in our Vedic literature. Though the whole four principles of life, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, they are given, but that is under rules and regulations. Nowhere it is stated that you can go on enjoying your senses to the utmost benefit. Nowhere it is said. Everywhere it is said that we have to control the mind, control the senses. So today we will try to discuss on this particular topic, that why sense gratification is so condemned in the Shastra. We'll see from what Prahlad Maharaj is also saying, very nice verses from the 7th canto and from other part of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we will see then how we can give up sense gratification and be satisfied. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his one of his bhajans, he is saying very beautiful bhajan. Anadi karmaphale padi bhavar nava jole, taribe na dekhi upay. E vishaya halale divanishi hiya jole, mana kabu sukhi nahi pay. So he is saying, because of my past fruitive activities, I have fallen into the ocean of nisance. I cannot find any means to get out of this great ocean, which is indeed like an ocean of poison. We are trying to be happy through sense enjoyment, but actually the so-called happiness enjoyment is like food that is too hot and causes burning in the heart. I feel a burning sensation constantly day and night, and thus my mind cannot find satisfaction. So this is a very nice bhajan saying how sense gratification is harmful. And why sense gratification is harmful? Because one who engages his senses, actually everything is taken away. In one of the section I was reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, that the uncontrolled senses are actually, they plunder away everything. Everything is lost for a person whose senses are uncontrolled. His wealth, his fame, everything practically is lost because of uncontrolled senses. Though person performs religion for artha, money, and then when he gets money, actually, which is used for kama, dharma, artha, kama, that is sense gratification, but actually, because the senses are uncontrolled, everything is taken away. In fifth canto, it is said, the conditioned soul may earn money for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, the uncontrolled senses plunder his money through sense gratification. The senses are plunderers because they make one spend his money unnecessarily for seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, desiring and willing. In this way, the conditioned soul is obliged to gratify his senses, and thus all his money is spent. This money is actually acquired for execution of religious principles, but it is taken away by the plundering senses. And therefore, there is need, Prabhupada writes in that purport, that one has to be trained to control the mind and senses. In the preface of Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada writes that in all spiritual activities, the first duty is to control the mind and senses. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in that purport of Srimad Bhagavat that this movement is therefore teaching people to control the mind and the five knowledge acquiring senses by a definite process. And therefore, one should practice little austerity and not spend money on anything other than the regulative life of devotional service. So therefore, this first principle of controlling the mind and senses has to be understood. So how a person actually he gets into sense gratification is nicely explained in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the chapter The Forest of Enjoyment. Very nice example, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit. He's explaining that just like a man from a mercantile community, he wants to make profit. So he enters into a forest to collect some wood so that in future he can sell it in the city at a higher price and he can get profit out of it. So similarly, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining, the conditioned soul becomes greedy. Greedy in the sense, he develops a desire to enjoy. Ichha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. Our existence is because of our desire, our ichha. The Lord is not interfering with our desire. It's our own personal desire, ichha, that we are put into the material world. And greed means to desire separately from the Lord. And therefore, once one develops a desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, then dvesha. Automatically, he develops envy towards the Supreme Lord. So, conditioned souls becomes greedy and he enters the material world for material profit, just like the merchant enters into the forest with an objective to make profit. Gradually, as he goes into the deepest of part of the forest, he is lost. Completely lost. He doesn't know how to come back, how to get out of the forest. And having lost in such environment, he is completely conditioned by the environment over there, which is the external energy of the Lord. And therefore, he becomes completely under the control of the Lord's Devi Shakti, Devi Maya. And therefore, he lives independently over there and gets bewildered in the forest. And because there is no association of devotees. So here, very nice point Prabhupada makes is, because he doesn't get association of devotees, his bodily conception goes on increasing. It's only in the association of devotees we come to know that we are servant of Krishna. Originally we are spirit and not matter. So without association, it's very difficult to understand. At least theoretically. Practical realization comes afterwards. But very much needed that association of devotees. And because he doesn't get association of devotees, his Dehatma Buddhi goes on increasing. And therefore, he gets another bodies, one after another, under the influence of three modes. Sometimes he goes on the upper planetary system, heavenly kingdom, sometimes at a lower planetary system, and he suffers in different bodies. And these bodies are actually because of the bodily conception which has been created due to mental concoction. Because the mind is hovering on so many sense objects, so many desires, and therefore to fulfill that desires, then he goes on getting one after another different bodies. He rotates in the 84 lakh species and actually he suffers. Very nicely explained. So how sense gratification is dangerous. It's very risky. So we will see how sense gratification is dangerous, why it is so condemned. There are 6 points why it is condemned. First and the foremost thing is, when a person starts gratifying his senses, he is put into illusion. He starts identifying with his body and senses. He forgets that he is spirit soul, servant of the Lord, and his bodily conception of right increases, and he thinks that I am the enjoyer, I am the creator. So he is put into illusion, and because he is put into illusion, what happens when one is in illusion? He wastes his time. What? In what activities? In troublesome activities of sense gratification. And because he is put into illusion, he wastes his time in troublesome activities of sense gratification, his devotional life is spoiled. He forgets the purpose of life. Prabhupada writes in today's purport that the purpose of life is self-realization and not sense gratification. And therefore, when the purpose of life is defeated, he is caught into the bondage of birth, old age, disease, death. And when he is caught into the cycle of birth, old age, disease, death, and he is into so much of sense gratification, the person develops enemies. He develops enmity towards other living entities, and he becomes more and more envious. And because of enmity and enviousness, ultimately he suffers. So we will try to see why these things happen. How it happens, we will see how step by step it happens. So this famous shloka Prabhupada many times quotes about Rishabhdev's teachings. Nunam pramatte kurute vikarma. This is a very famous shloka Prabhupada quotes. So when one considers the life's aim as sense gratification, then what happens? Two things. he, as we discussed, that he becomes mad for materialistic living, is put into illusion, and he engages into sinful activities. Now, why these particular activities are called sinful? Because they are against the laws of God. In Isopanishad, Prabhupada writes, deliberate disobedience to the laws of God is sin. So we accept that which is temporary as sat, eternal. He accepts this body as permanent, and he forgets that he is spirit soul, and engages in sinful activity. And such activities are not good, because in this way he creates another body, one after another. And he is put into repeated cycle of birth, old age, disease, death. And such consciousness of sense gratification ultimately leads one to the darkest hellish condition. And therefore, in that purport, in 5th canto, Prabhupada writes that one should perfect his life by associating with devotees, so that he is not implicated into cycle of birth, old age, disease and death. So because of sense gratificatory activities, he gets illusioned, and the second step is he gets into activities which are actually time waster. In 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Sukham indriyakam daitya deha yogina dehinam sarvatra labhyate devat yatha dukham ayatnata. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, my dear friends, born of demonic families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. So there is no need to waste time to maintain the body. The body can already be maintained. The cats and dogs, the Lord is taking care of their body. They don't have to work hard to maintain the body. So the main self-interest is to know the goal of life, self-realization. That's what Prahlad Maharaj wants to instruct here. That one should not strive hard for material happiness. Material happiness means sense gratification, whether it's concentrated or extended. Happiness means sense gratification. Maybe it's our own sense gratification, selfish, or it may be extended to our family or society or country. So it's in one sense, it's all sense gratification. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that the best use of human form of life is to revive our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And then in the next shloka, in 7th canto, he is saying that endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result not only in loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavors are directed towards Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj gives the account of 100-year life. Everyone knows 50 years goes in sleeping, in ignorance. Another 20 years are lost in childhood and boyhood. Childhood in playing in a bewildered state, and when he is in boyhood, he is sporting. And another 20 years due to Jara, Vyadi, and whatever remaining life is there, it is wasted because he has never practiced controlling his mind and senses. So remaining time is also wasted. And in this way, the person, he wastes his time in sense gratification. So because of illusion, he gets into activities which are wasteful. He wastes his time and energy. And therefore, the next third step is, along with time and energy, these activities are actually troublesome, but still he undergoes. Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, he is saying to his schoolmates, that, oh my friends, son of the Asuras, the Supreme Person of Godhead in his supersoul feature always exists within the course of the hearts of all living entities. Indeed, he is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, and there is no difficulty in worshipping the Lord. Why then should people engage in his devotional service? Why then should people not engage in his devotional service? Why are they so addicted to unnecessary producing artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification? So the Lord is seated as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and he can render service very easily. It's the most easiest process to render devotional service to the Lord. But why still people are getting engaged in sense gratificatory activities, which are actually so painful and so troublesome? Prahlad Maharaj, here it is said in purport, Prabhupada writes that it's so easy to practice devotional service and be happy. Just chant Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Vishnu. Hearing, chanting the glories of the Lord. It's so simple. As soon as he hears the Lord's name, one immediately comes in contact with the Lord. Abhinnatva Naminamino. The Lord's names are non-different from him. So as soon as we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we are in touch with the Lord. It's a matter of realization, but the fact is that we are in touch with the Lord. So the process is so easy, it is said that without endeavor, how much endeavor we took now to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra? It's not that a very koti prayas wins, like, it's not that we have taken so much endeavor to chant. So easy to chant the names of the Lord. But on the other hand, if we want to gratify the senses, so much endeavor is needed. Prabhupada writes in the purport that so much endeavor is needed to satisfy the senses. Prabhupada writes in the purport that if one wants to go to hell and by breaking the four regulative principles, he must acquire so many things. Generally, breaking the four regulative principles is considered happiness. Having, eating meat, gambling, intoxication and illicit sex, these are the four things which practically in Kali Yuga everyone thinks that this is what happiness is all about. The whole world is rotating on these four principles. Enjoyment means meat eating, then intoxication, then gambling, illicit sex. That's what the whole world is doing. The whole advertisement industry wants that things to happen. So clearly Prabhupada writes in that verbat that if one wants to go to hell, so much endeavor is required. If one wants to eat meat, one has to earn money. Nothing comes free in the world. So much hard work. One wants to gamble, then so much hard work for getting money. And intoxication and both illicit sex. Everywhere money is required. And to acquire money, so much endeavor is there. But to go home back to Godhead, just Prabhupada says in the purport, just sit in one place and man mana bhava mada bhakto mada yaji maam namaskaro. Just chant the names of the Lord, worship the Lord, offer obeisances to the Lord, and you will go home back to Godhead. So the process is so simple, but because the person is conditioned, he takes the troublesome path of sense gratification because he is into completely illusion state of, and because of this his devotional service is spoiled. Prahlad Maharaj is replying to Hiranyakashipu. We will discuss in short about Hiranyakashipu, how he was the greatest sense gratifier. Actually he was the servant of his senses. Prahlad Maharaj is saying here, Matirna Krishne Parata Svatova Mitho Abhipadyata Grahavratanam Arandago Bir Vishatam Tamishram Punah Punascharvita Charvananam. Because of the uncontrolled senses, he is saying to Hiranyakashipu, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by combination of both. So because of uncontrolled senses, his senses are engaged in sense gratification, and therefore he engages in all sinful activities, and therefore he cannot approach God, cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because of this he is completely unsatisfied. Satisfaction comes by getting connected with the Lord. A person who is disconnected from the Lord can never be satisfied. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to getting connected with the Lord. Prabhupada writes in this purport that the whole philosophy nowadays is to acquire more and more and more and more things. The more you possess, the more you are considered successful in life. In one of the lectures, Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga, the person is considered expert when he is expert in maintaining his family. And when he has more and more, he goes on acquiring more and more positions. Then he is considered expert. Otherwise, he is considered fool. If a person, nowadays we see so many devotees joining full time, people generally consider to become a brahmachari is foolishness. You want to dodge your responsibilities. But the greatest responsibility is to take up to Krishna consciousness. No matter what ashram, but the main responsibility of life is to take to Krishna consciousness. So people generally think that to possess more, to acquire more is the something very successful, considered very successful. So here it is condemned actually that we should be satisfied with minimum necessities of life. Bali Maharaj is been told by Lord Vamandev that without contentment, one cannot become happy. This philosophy of acquiring more and more will never give happiness. And therefore, now we see nowadays situation that people are more and more dissatisfied rather than satisfied with material possessions. Though they may keep on acquiring so many things again and again, but still, if we peep into their lives, private lives, they have a horrible life. You can take example of any sports star or a film actor or whatever it may be, any famous personality is actually miserable at home. So the whole philosophy of acquiring more and more, it doesn't work. But because of illusion, person thinks, because of illusion and controlled senses, he thinks that is the goal of life. Hiranyakashipu also, he was so much, Hiranya means gold and Kashipu means soft bed. So he was so much into sense gratification that he completely lost the purpose of life. And then he became envious. We will see the next point that how sense gratification leads to envious. A person becomes envious about others. So because of uncontrolled senses, he wanted to acquire everything. He wanted to become immortal. He wanted to be the most unconquerable king. And he performed austerities also for that. And by performing austerities, he got benediction from Lord Brahma. His whole body, it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that his whole body was covered with antil because of austerities for so many years. But as soon as he got benediction from Lord Brahma, he got a beautiful golden body. But as soon as he got a body, what happened? Prabhupada writes that he acquired a lustrous golden body, but to remember death of his brother Hiranyaksha and to kill Lord Vishnu. So this body he acquired again was not for performing any devotional service, but for again to be envious of the Lord. And in spite of having all such things, he had conquered practically all universe, but still Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he was servant of his senses. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports that Hiranyakashipu represents dissatisfied state of humanity. So he had practically everything, but because he was not able to control his senses, he was always angry. Whenever Lord Vishnu's name came, whenever Prahlad Maharaj said about Vishnu, he used to become angry. So much envy. So Hiranyakashipu represents the dissatisfied state of humanity. And because he had performed so many austerities, he had become so powerful that the whole world became fearful of him. But even though the whole world was fearing, he was killed by Lord Narasingadev. On the other hand, we can see the example of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was, what was Prahlad Maharaj in front of Hiranyakashipu? He was just a 5-year boy. Of course, his qualities are enlisted in Srimad Bhagavatam. He was non-envious, he was free of material desires. He was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness and he was not able to know how the world is moving because of sense gratification. He was so absorbed in chanting and hearing, Shravanam Kirtanam, continuous. So Prahlad Maharaj was just a small boy of 5 years old, but because he was engaged in devotional service, the Lord protected him. One who performs severe austerities for sense gratification is fearful to the entire world. Hiranyakashipu was fearful. But whereas a devotee who performs a slight amount of devotional service becomes friend to everyone. Shodham sarva bhutanam. And therefore, austerities have to be performed not for personal sense gratification but for advancement in Krishna consciousness. So Hiranyakashipu also performed austerities, which we cannot compare also. Even we cannot think of, or even yogis cannot think of such austerities. But what was the aim? Aim was to take the post of Lord Brahma and kill Lord Vishnu. So this is what happens when person becomes too much entangled into sense gratification activities, which causes bondage ultimately, and he falls into the deep dark well of birth, old age, disease and death of mortal existence. And the last point, sense gratification creates enmity and enviousness. In Rishabhdev's teachings, it is said, due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his self-interest, the auspicious path of life. He is simply bound by material enjoyment, by lusty desires, and all his plans are made for this purpose. For temporary sense gratification, such a person creates society of envy, and due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. Such a foolish person does not even know about this. It is said, that person who has lost his vision, nashta drushti, the person who has lost his vision, he doesn't understand that all these activities, how they are implicating him in the cycle of birth, old age, disease, death. And therefore, all these activities cause bondage. So the first and the foremost thing is, because of sense gratification, a person is put into illusion. And because of illusion, he takes to the activities which are actually waste of time and energy, and he engages in troublesome activities which cause actually bondage, and he becomes more and more envious. And because of all these things, his devotional life is spoiled. So this, we have to take this lesson. Actually, I am speaking for myself. So sense gratification is so harmful. So the question comes, that how to overcome sense gratification and be satisfied. So Shripad Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says very nice solution to overcome sense gratification. By making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. With determination, one can give up sense gratification. He gives the example of, if one is hungry, if on a particular day he has decided not to eat, on fast, on a particular day of fasting, even if he is hungry, he can naturally conquer the disturbance which is caused by hunger and thirst. So similarly, with determination, if one knows that how sense gratification is harmful, if he takes lessons from Shastra, then with that knowledge, with that sword of knowledge, he can become determined. And therefore, to get fixed up in devotional service, we have to have sound knowledge, philosophical understanding. Then, with that determination, we can give up sense gratification. It is said that if one is determined not to be envious, he can naturally conquer anger. Very nice points in the 7th canto it is given. One can give up the desire to accumulate wealth simply by considering how difficult it is to protect the money in one's possession. We see practically in our temple also, so much we have security systems and cameras, and so we have to protect. Of course, that is Lord's property, we have to protect, take care. But from material point of view, for a person, materialistic person, if he has a big palace, then he has to have practically security guards and so many security systems. Why? To protect. And one can become fearless by discussing truth. So, here it is said, by making plans with determination, one can give up the desire to gratify the senses. And once you give up sense gratification with that determination, one can conquer envy. Hiranyakashipu was not ready to stop his sense gratification, so he is always envious. Ravan also, the example of Ravan also, was not ready to stop sense gratification. Therefore, always envious of the Lord. So, unless we don't stop sense gratification, we cannot stop envying others. And the original envy is with the Lord. And therefore, we envy all living entities. And to be determined, one has to come in association with the Sadhu Sangha, association of devotees. Then, if we associate with those who are determined, then that qualities of the devotees are infectious. We can get infected with the quality of determination and we can perform devotional service. Another point to overcome sense gratification is linking up with the Lord. That means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord. It's not that stopping sense gratification means you become inert. Senses cannot be inert. They are always active. Because the soul is active, we cannot have any engagement. We have to have engagement for the senses. But if we engage in material things, then we are implicated. So same senses have to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Just like Ambarish Maharaj engaged all his senses. Durvasamuni picked up the quarrel with Ambarish Maharaj and he became angry because he was not able to control his senses. But though he was a yogi, but on the other hand, if we see, Ambarish Maharaj has complete control over senses. He was not a yogi but a devotee. He had practically controlled all his senses by engaging them in the service of the Lord. Eyes in seeing the Lord, hearing, ears for hearing, and tongue for tasting the prasad of the Lord. Actually, all senses were engaged in the service of the Lord. And the most important, like his desire was linked up with the desire of the Lord. He had no other desire other than serving the Lord. That's the main point. That we should perform activities which Krishna wants us to perform. Then we can become satisfied. So we can see there are so many points. Of course, we are running short of time. So another point for overcoming sense gratification is we have to practice. Practice makes a man perfect. To control the senses, it needs a lot of practice, a lot of endeavor. Anyway, we are enduring for sense gratification, but that enduring propensity can be dotted in controlling the mind and senses. So practice. So if we practice, then we can, and engaging the senses at the same time in the devotional service of the Lord will help us to overcome sense gratification and be satisfied. Another thing which is related to this last section of the purport today, that the principle of adjustment, very important principle to be satisfied in spiritual life. In 7th canto, in one of the purports, Prabhupada writes, for spiritual advancement, one should be materially satisfied. For if one is not materially satisfied, his greed for material development will result in frustration of his spiritual advancement. So generally people ask, then kuch karna nahi kya fir? No. Whether we should not earn. The question is not of earning. Everyone will have to do whatever duties which are prescribed for him. For a businessman, he has to perform the activities which are needed. For a student, whatever activities are needed, they have to perform. It's not that you can give up. But here it is said, there are two things that nullify good qualities. First thing is, one who is poverty stricken, daridra dosha guna rashi nashi. If one is poverty stricken, all his good qualities become null and void. And second is, similarly, if one is greedy, his good qualities, his good qualifications are lost. And therefore, this principle of adjustment is that one should not be poverty stricken. It's not that we should not earn. It's not that we should not possess. But one should not be poverty stricken, but one must try to be fully satisfied with the bare necessities of life. At the same time, whatever is needed, we have to do. Prayas, too much endeavor, as in NOD, NOI, Rupa Goswami says, too much endeavor for acquiring material things is not good. So whatever comes by Lord's desire, we should accept. That is the principle of adjustment. Therefore, we have to adjust. And therefore, for a devotee to be satisfied with bare necessity of life is the best advice for spiritual advancement. And therefore, we see in this particular section of 8th canto that Aditi was advised by Kashyap Muni, because Aditi was lamenting for her sons. She could not see her sons in the abode and she was very much aggrieved. So Kashyap Muni, actually, he instructed her in the science of self-realization. But that could not satisfy her. So therefore, Kashyap Muni, ultimately he satisfied her by telling that you can be very much satisfied by worshipping Lord Vasudev. And he instructed in the whole, the previous chapter, previous to the previous chapter, however the process, he instructed her that you have to worship the Lord by this process. Then you can be really, you can achieve your goal and you can become completely satisfied. So this principle of satisfaction is very much important. We can learn lesson from this particular section that how Aditi was completely satisfied. It is mentioned in one of the purports that Aditi was completely satisfied when the Lord appeared before her in 400 form in yellow garlands, garments having Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. She got Sakshat Darshan of the Lord. But how? Because she accepted her husband as Guru, followed her instructions very diligently, without laziness, Prabhupada writes, and with undivided attention and thought, she meditated on the Lord, controlled her mind and senses, and because she concentrated her mind and senses, she could execute the whole process of Payavrata, and because she executed the process of Payavrata, Lord gave her Sakshat Darshan. That was actually real success. So Aditi, Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, was Artha. Four categories of people who approach Lord. She was Artha, in distress, very much aggrieved. But still, Kashyap Muni advised to perform devotional service. Bhakti. Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udaradi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajante purusha param. Whether one has material desires or not, or whether one wants to merge into the existence of the Lord, one should be worshipping the Supreme Lord. And therefore, Kashyap Muni saw that his wife had material desires, but still he advised to engage in devotional service of the Lord. So similarly, all of us, we have full with material desires, but that desires have to be purified by executing the process of devotional service. The whole process of devotional service is engagement in the service of the Lord. Rishikesha, Rishikesha Sevanam. Engagement of our senses in the service of the Lord. That will purify from all material desires. So here we see that the Lord, when he appeared before Aditi, he said three things. Why have I appeared? So he says, because you prayed to me, I have appeared. Second thing he says, that because you properly worshipped me by the Payavrata process. And third thing is austerity of Kashyap Muni. So similarly, in following in the footsteps, because we can also pray to the Lord so that our mind and senses get engaged in the service of the Lord. And by properly worshipping, Prabhupada writes in the purport that the best way of worship in Kali Yuga is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And practicing austerity means the do's and don'ts of devotional service. So if we practice all the three things, then we can ultimately achieve complete satisfaction of the self. Because everyone is looking for satisfaction. So unless and until we don't engage in the service of the Lord, we cannot become happy. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in first canto, real satisfaction is beyond matter. In matter, we can never find satisfaction. So therefore, going beyond matter means to understanding our real position as servant of the Lord. And if we understand and realize that we are really servant of the Lord, then one can become completely satisfied. Just like a servant, faithful, loyal servant can be happy if he cooperates with his master. If he wants to become master, then problem starts. So if we just cooperate with the Lord's desires, link up our desire with the desire of the Lord, then we can become completely satisfied. That's the whole essence of the principle of satisfaction. That to get connected with the Lord, that is real satisfaction. So we'll stop here because it's already 9:15. If anybody has any comments, corrections, maybe. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.